The reading is from Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This is the word of the Lord.
Heart and on my lips, that I may proclaim his word worthily and well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Francis Young, and I'm a licensed lay minister here at Christ the Servant King. Continuing our sermon series on parables, this morning I'm going to be speaking about the parable of the unjust judge. Last week, we heard from our curate, Rachel, about how Jesus' parables turn the way that we would normally see the world upside down. And I want to suggest this morning that the parable of the unjust judge is one of the most audacious and even outrageous parables of them all. It's audacious because it teaches a lesson about God through a story about a very bad person. Jesus begins a story by apparently comparing God to an unjust judge. Now, given that justice is supposed to be one of God's primary qualities, if people weren't listening carefully, they might have thought that Jesus' words were verging on the blasphemous. But before we turn to ask why Jesus chooses to speak about an unjust judge, it's worth spending a few moments to set the parable in context. The word judge here is perhaps better translated as magistrate. For we're dealing with a legal system in first century Galilee very unlike our own. Our judges in this country are independently appointed without the involvement of government to ensure the crucial separation between the government and the judiciary. Furthermore, judges in this country are all experienced lawyers who've worked their way up through the judicial system to reach a high position of trust. Not so in first century Galilee. It was a puppet state of the Roman Empire ruled by Herod. Magistrates were officials paid by Herod and sent out to administer the province with the primary aim of ensuring that fines were paid, property was confiscated, and disorder was put down. Justice was a secondary issue at best. And magistrates, like the notorious tax collectors who pop up at various points in the Gospels, regarded their appointment as an opportunity to make a little on the side by imposing penalties where they weren't really justified or extracting bribes just in return for what they should be doing as part of their job anyway. So when Jesus uses those words, unjust judge, some in his audience may have sniggered. After all, an unjust judge in first century Galilee was a bit like talking about a dishonest burglar. The second character who appears in our story is a widow. Widows in Galilee, as in most other ancient societies, were one of the most vulnerable groups of people. Without a husband, a widow was without a source of financial support. And society at that time didn't accept the idea that a woman could work. This left widows dependent on charity or on their relatives. We hear again and again in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testaments, that God is angry against those who exploit the vulnerable, specifically widows and orphans. And the unjust judge is clearly one of those people. The widow has brought a case against someone, an adversary, presumably for treating her unjustly. Now, at the time, that would have required her to appear in court in person. There were no counsels for the prosecution or the defense in those days, certainly no legal aid, and in fact, there were no police to compel the person you were accusing to come to court anyway. So it was up to the widow to make her case to the judge and convince him in person. But if, as I suspect was the case with this unjust judge, he required a bribe to convince him rather than argument, there was no hope for a penniless widow. So the widow, having failed in court, resorts to the only option she has to get justice. She keeps turning up when he's sitting in judgment. She finds out where he lives. She follows him home. She bangs on the door day and night. She waylays his servants in the street. She tries to grab hold of him in the street, pulling on his clothes, pleading with him. She wears the judge down until, at last, the balance shifts. Until he realizes that he has more to lose from his injustice towards her than he has to gain by it. Slowly but surely, the judge begins to regret that he wrote off that widow as powerless and insignificant, because she's starting to make his life a misery. And perhaps her constant presence isn't just an annoyance to him. Perhaps it's also a niggling reminder that he is unjust and that he falls short of how a judge ought to behave. Now, Jesus tells us that the judge doesn't fear God and he doesn't care what people think. But no one, however badly behaved they are, wants to be constantly reminded of what their real responsibilities should be. The widow, in short, is making the judge feel uncomfortable. At last, the judge shrugs, perhaps exclaiming something like, "Anything for a quiet life," and decides to give the woman her justice, just to get rid of her. So what does Jesus mean when he says, "Listen to what the unjust judge says"? Well, in the first place, we need to be clear about what Jesus is not saying. Jesus is not saying that God is like the unjust judge. Our God is not like Baal in the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal in the Old Testament. And Baal will only hear if his worshippers shout loud enough. That's what those prophets think. We shouldn't imagine a God who takes notice of us only if we keep pestering him, because this is a pagan way of imagining God. as a heavenly bureaucrat with only enough time and energy to deal with a certain number of prayers every day, and only with those who are first in the queue. And in fact, this is exactly the point that Jesus is making through this parable. For the unjust judge isn't a comparison with God, as it might seem at first. He is a contrast. Will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Jesus' point is that God's justice, unlike the justice of the judge in the parable, is not dependent or conditional on the number of our prayers or the depth of our despair. The idea of unconditional justice is something we all find appealing. We can see this clearly, in fact, in fictional detectives. Have you noticed that most TV detectives and detectives in crime novels, they've all got something seriously wrong in their lives? They're lonely, or they're unable to maintain a relationship, or they have a problem with authority, or drink, or drugs. But the common feature of all imaginary detectives, from Sherlock Holmes to Inspector Morse, is that in the end, they only care about justice. They don't care what their superiors think. They just want justice to be done. Not because it's their job to catch criminals, and not because they want the acclaim of solving the crime, but because they love justice for its own sake. And I suspect the reason why we love these fictional detectives so much is that these characters who are hungry for justice, for the sake of justice, that's what we want God to be like. And the message of the parable of the unjust judge is precisely this, that God loves justice. He loves justice so much that it's part of his very being. God's incapable of acting with injustice, because injustice falls short of who he truly is. It's a message that runs through both the Old and New Testaments, written in there like a stick of rock. God is just. God is justice. God loves justice and hates injustice. But this can be a scary message, can't it? God is just. So God is the ultimate judge. And that leads many people, I think, to believe that God is judgmental. Many people begin to wonder whether God is a larger and more frightening version of all the judgmental people that they've encountered in their lives and still encounter. Parents, teachers, employers, relatives. Fear of a judgmental God weighs down so many people. Perhaps they were told when they were children that God was watching them. God was marking down their faults. Perhaps they've only ever experienced harsh judgment from others. And so they assume God must be like that. So many people conclude that they're just better off without God. They're better off without that weight of judgment. Well, good news. Let me tell you that God is not like that. Better still, let Jesus tell you. I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. God is just, and he does hate injustice. But God is on your side. There is a great distance, there is an inestimable chasm between the judgmental God of our imaginations and the just God whom Jesus proclaims. God loves justice for the sake of justice. And he loves justice for the sake of love. For there can be no love without justice. But God doesn't find fault. He doesn't make a record of wrongs. And he doesn't condemn those who have chosen life in Jesus Christ. God is often spoken of as a judge in the Bible and outside it. But perhaps at times it's more helpful to think of him as an advocate, as the one who speaks up for us and is on our side. For as Jesus' disciple John wrote, "We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." God is the just judge, but he is also, in Jesus Christ, the just advocate. So, as Jesus told his hearers, listen to what the unjust judge says, but remember who is the only truly just judge. Amen.